Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. If you have ever wondered about the value of a big company and startup partnership, I'd give you Alfonso as a shining example of the potential for mutually beneficial growth. On today's show, I'm talking with Raghu Kodige, who is the co-founder of Alfonso, a TV data and measurement company that I advised almost 7 years ago when I first launched Venture Fuel. We worked together to get some of Alfonso's first corporate deals, and they just announced that LG invested nearly $80 million into their business. Today, we're going to talk about the corporate startup collaborations and their journey from our first meeting on a floor mattress years ago to fighting for deals and eventually now with LG's investment. So let's get after it. Raghu, it has been a long time, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fred. Hope you're doing well.
Doing very well. So I would love to start off, if you don't mind sharing sort of the Alfonso origin story. Before you do, though, I was thinking about it as I was kind of doing some research for our call about the first time I met you and some of the team. Ashish, your co-founder, and I had been talking ahead of time, and he said, come meet us at our new offices on the Upper West Side in Manhattan. And I went, and it was in an apartment building, and I went up, and it was like this small apartment. You guys had like mattresses all around the floor and like these makeshift desks. I remember being like, uh-oh, like I better get paid up front by these guys. Like this is super early. And to now see like, and obviously we got to know each other a lot over those years and you guys were just growing like crazy. But could you maybe talk about those early days and why you guys started Alfonso?
Yeah, you know, Fred, you're not a startup unless you are in a garage, if you're in Silicon Valley, and which we actually had. You didn't visit our Silicon Valley office. It was, you know, my garage. And if you're in New York, you got to find a, you know, accommodation and workspace, right? So yeah, you know, it was, I think the early days were all about for us trying to hustle and meet the clients and understand really what they wanted us to do rather than build everything and try to go to market with what we have, right? So even though we were kind of based in Silicon Valley, both me and Ashish were, you know, had homes here, we knew the market was in New York and we were flying literally every week to New York. And at some point we decided, you know what, you need an apartment here because, you know, just getting into hotels and rushing to meetings in the morning, that wasn't working for us. And so that's where, you know, we met you, I think, first. We had an apartment, Upper West Side, which was also functioning as our office whenever we were not on the road and, you know, meeting people in their offices. So yeah, you know, Alfonso started 8 years ago and we were sort of an atypical startup. We were 8 founders. Ashish and myself were the product and business guys. And we had an awesome team from Bell Labs, you know, 6 engineers, including my CTO, Lampros. And, you know, we kind of zeroed in on this TV data space. I think, you know, this is a problem that everyone in our industry understands very well, which is you spend a lot of money on TV, but it's a complete black box. You don't know, you know, where the ads are running, who saw it, and, you know, if it's working well for you, and, you know, do you invest more? Do you change your media mix? All of that. And, you know, coming from sort of the digital world, you know, I was at Yahoo for 10 years before that. This was a big puzzle for us, right? Like, you know, how can this industry kind of function with $70 billion being transacted without any transparency into, you know, what's going on? And so, you know, that was the idea, right? We said, hey, you know, let's figure out if there are ways to get some new sensors in people's homes to measure really what people are watching. And based on that, figure out if you can do analytics, if you can do advertising, and so on. So that's really how, you know, Alfonso started as a company.
I love it. And for brands listening, I know you evolved so much with multiple different products at this point, but what would you say if you know, you were talking to, you know, a Pepsi or a Procter Gamble for the first time, which I know that wouldn't be the first time for you guys, but you know, what is the unique value proposition for Alfonso at this point?
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, you know, the proposition hasn't changed a whole lot in the 8 years, right? Like the problem that we tried to solve still exists in the industry, which is a lot of money is being spent on TV, and now some of it has shifted from, say, TV to CTV. Yeah. But the problem statement still remains the same for brands, right? Hey, you know, how are you allocating your marketing spend? Do you know how it is working in one platform versus the other, meaning digital versus TV versus social? And are you able to sort of, you know, do apples to apples comparison between all of these different sort of media spends and figure out how to efficiently allocate your dollars?
Throughout the conversation, Raghu will refer to CTV. This stands for connected television. And it's basically any television set that's used to stream video over the internet.
So that is really still the value proposition we bring to market. I'll come to a little bit later on in terms of how the LG investment has changed things for us in a more significant way. But the problem statement for anyone when we first meet is really trying to understand, you know, how are you spending your money? How are you making those decisions? Do you have any need for understanding your investments better? And if so, you know, how can we help? Right. So that's really the sort of simple elevator pitch that we would do even today. And that was true even, you know, 7-8 years back.
Yeah. And I think one thing that was interesting was, you know, when we first started seven, 8 years ago, was the idea of the sensors and understanding really what people are watching on TV was nothing short of revolutionary, right? And it was really hard. I mean, I remember going to meetings with you and, you know, the person on the other side of the desk just looking at us blankly, like, wait, like, that sounds like magic. I don't understand. So can you talk maybe about some of those early days, like how you got people to get up that learning curve quickly in terms of your technology and then converted them to, you know, potential clients?
Right. Yeah, so the technology, I think today everybody has heard the acronym ACR, or Automatic Content Recognition. And, you know, when we first started sort of bringing that as a product into the market, people didn't really understand that at all. In fact, it was like you said, you know, when we showed how it worked, it was almost magical for people, right? Like, oh, you're able to tell me exactly what is running on TV right now, and you're able to retarget that audience on another device. Like, you know, I don't believe that. You know, show how it works. So, you know, I remember our first set of meetings would always be, we would go in with, a clip of an ad or a show, either playing on our laptops or, you know, occasionally we did it even on live TVs. And then back then, we used to have our ACR technology embedded within, you know, smart TVs as well as mobile devices. Now, you can't really carry a TV to someone's office and show them a demo. So we would do it using our app, which had that ACR technology embedded in it. And literally, we would start playing a clip on a TV or on our laptops. And then the app would automatically recognize what's playing. Let's say, you know, it's a meeting with Volkswagen. We would play a Volkswagen clip, and immediately the app would recognize that particular ad. And it would start playing another ad from that same brand on the second screen, right? And all of this would happen, you know, literally within seconds. And right there would be sort of the aha moment for advertisers, right? You know, like people would start coming up with all kinds of ideas. Oh, can I conquest a competitor's ad? You know, can I do this when March Madness is going on and I could not buy a spot on March Madness, so I want to target that audience though on another device, right? So literally we would be sitting there kind of brainstorming with agency folks on, you know, how do you use this technology and what additional kind of analytics and measurements that they can get out of it and so on. So that part was really kind of thrilling, for us as a small company to be able to get that kind of attention and interest from our clients.
What kind of advice would you have for some of those large companies that we met with? Because I remember it was like, there were so many different conversations that needed to happen. There was the, I don't believe you. And so you show them the magic. Then it was like, well, you guys, how much scale do you have? It was almost like they were just inventing blockers to try something new. And then of course there's the rush, right? Like as soon as everyone realized it works, it was like, you know, they're trying to make sure their competitors don't work with you. So what advice would you have for sort of larger companies when they are thinking about piloting or trying some sort of new technology like you guys were 7 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an advice, I would say, both probably to the large companies as well as entrepreneurs, right? Which is, you know, if you really want to be innovative as a company, you need to have that muscle of being able to test things in the market. Because, you know, nobody's willing to deploy hundreds of, you know, thousands of dollars without testing.
Right.
But if you're not even willing to take that step of testing someone out and seeing whether it actually works and understanding, you know, how it works, the scale question is very, very important, I think, because there are lots of, you know, sort of one pony tricks that I'm sure, you know, they come across that, you know, looks awesome as a demo, but doesn't really work. So you can't mistrust everything because you've had maybe bad experiences with one or two players. So you need, as an organization, I think, the ability to test these kind of things, you know. So setting aside, you know, innovation budgets, where you've given some parameters to people who are managing that, saying, yeah, you need to be able to test it. Here are some questions you need to ask. But really, don't miss out on an opportunity for fear of, you know, something not working, right? And then for the entrepreneurs, I think it's a similar advice, which is, you know, if you're really serious about building a product into a revenue-making thing, you need to be willing to offer those tests, right? Be very transparent, tell a client, look, this is how it works. Show them kind of the technology if you can, because the demos are always much better than PowerPoints, right? So, you know, we almost always made it a point to not open with slides, but trying to open with some demo, some actual dashboard and things that people can touch and feel. And then trying to get that conversation from, you know, setting up more meetings to, you know, how do we test? Like who has budget? You know, who are the people who make those decisions? And, you know, can we get to that next step of actually testing something and seeing if it works? So I think that combination of being able to, you know, show something and move on to a test, I think is kind of important.
Yeah. I remember you guys, one of the things early on, it was like, oh, well, they'll do a free test. And I remember you guys saying no, but you're very aggressive in terms of coming up with something that was affordable and worthwhile. But I always thought it was really interesting that you valued what you were bringing to the market as well. So it wasn't like, sure, we'll do free tests with everybody. You were very confident in what it would deliver. And I don't want to make it sound like you guys like put a line in the sand, like you've got to pay X. It was very interesting because at that time we represented a bunch of startups and everyone else was like doing the freemium move.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was actually a very big distinguisher for you all because it showed that you were real and that you're really confident in what you're going to deliver. And so I always thought that was a very interesting strategic choice by you guys.
Yeah, I think, you know, we realize that sometimes, you know, when people think something is free, they don't value it as much. They don't put in as much effort into it. And for us, it was almost always about, you know, we will forego 10 opportunities if we can get one real customer, right?
Yeah.
And so trying to suss out on the other side, you know, are people serious? Are they willing to put some skin in the game? And that usually means writing a check, right?
Yeah.
Was sort of a good way of prioritizing who really we, you know, go after rather than spread ourselves too thin in the market, trying to keep everybody happy with free pilots.
For any founders listening, Alfonso was the gold standard on how to launch a startup. They kept their overhead costs really, really low and instead invested their capital into their product, as well as the presentation of that product. I was always amazed at how good their marketing materials were. Case studies were printed in beautifully bound books with heavy paper stock rather than the flimsy one sheets that everyone else was going to market with. They may have all been working from those mattresses we talked about, but to the clients, they were polished, they had a magical product, and they poured their souls into making sure each campaign was a success. I think what Raghu talks about here, about not just taking every deal, but actually finding clients and the people that would convert into customers, is such an important distinction in how startup founders should approach the market. So we're going to kind of jump back to the LG conversation. They just invested $80 million with you all. And so I presume you guys got to move off of the mattresses in the in the New York office. But in all seriousness, what is LG getting out of this investment? What are they looking or hoping to achieve with the partnership?
I think, you know, so a couple of, you know, the sort of the little bit context or background to how this all happened is, you know, we have been partners with LG for a long time now. We are one of the few companies that has access to the viewership data from LG TVs. And we were among the best that they worked with in terms of actually converting that into multiple product lines, advertising, analytics for brands, analytics for, you know, broadcasters, and showing how valuable that piece of, you know, data that they were selling us was. And then over the years, you know, we would keep talking to them on and off and tell them, look, you know, in spite of how well we are doing with your data, if we were to work together, we could do 100 times better. And I think that sort of point became more and more clear to them as they started looking at, you know, competitors like Roku or Samsung or Amazon, kind of take this model of let's not sell data as a feed to vendors, but let's put skin in the game ourselves. Let's build an entire ad platform. Let's bring that into market, work more directly and closely with advertisers and agencies. And then, you know, that means that you're able to improve your product rapidly, but more importantly, you're capturing the bulk of the revenue rather than just, you know, sort of letting it, you know, be commoditized in the market. So that's really the motivation here. The ambition for all of us, you know, LG and Alfonso, with the launch of the LG Ads platform, which we'll be announcing soon, is the ability to compete head-on with the Roku, Amazon, and Samsungs of the world.
Very cool. That's awesome. I know the answer to this, but I'm curious. A lot of times when we're talking with large companies, especially the R&D groups, we'll get this pushback. Our R&D or our engineers could just build whatever this technology is that a startup might be offering. So curious with LG, right? They have some of the best engineers and some of the best tech in the world. Why did they make that investment in Alfonso rather than saying, hey, we can just build it ourselves?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think, you know, the answer to that is it doesn't matter whether it's LG or Google or, you know, any other large company. There are areas when you will always find pockets of, you know, people who are extremely passionate and knowledgeable about a particular space and are moving much faster than your large organization is able to move, right? And that's really the Silicon Valley kind of motto, which is, hey, you know, I'm going to find an area and focus on that and innovate faster and take more risks than anybody else. And by doing that, you get sort of disproportionate growth in that space for that particular company. And so that was really how Alfonso was viewed within LG. LG knows that they have an amazing sort of R&D team, especially on the hardware side, right? They are the best in the business. Their OLED TVs are world-class, better than any other brand out there. At the same time, they did recognize that when it comes to advertising and software, they were lagging behind their competitors. And rather than trying to do all of that in-house, they wanted to sort of leapfrog the competition by working with someone like us who have spent, you know, 7-8 years really, you know, fine-tuning the product, really understanding what advertisers want and what consumers want, right? So it's a combination of those two and being able to build software in a very rapid fashion with some amazing talent that we have, you know, hired over the years. I think that kind of combination is what attracted LG to, you know, work with us.
I love it. I think it's such a, you described the sort of, you know, one of the lures and the romantic notions about Silicon Valley is this, you know, really finding that thing that you're passionate about and going all in. And it can be very niche and just becoming the best at it, growing faster, making that your thing. And, you know, a lot of times large companies are doing a lot of different things, right? They don't have that luxury, which I think is where the beauty of this type of collaboration is. So what about you guys, like for Alfonso coming out of this investment, where do you want to take the company? What is Alfonso's aspiration longer term, or what's next for Alfonso?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for us, it is, you know, continuing sort of the dream of building $1 billion or more market cap company in this space. You look at sort of the CTV landscape, Fred, you know, there are a few big trends here, right? So first of all, you know, there's a lot of money shifting hands from sort of linear TV to OTT and CTV. And that got literally accelerated last year with, you know, probably COVID playing a big role in that, with more and more people staying at home and spending more time watching on the big screen rather than on their, you know, mobile devices and other devices. Combined with the fact that the industry itself is transforming where, you know, the big players like HBO, Disney Plus are all pulling back their content in-house and launching their own OTT services. So, you know, the future in our, it's sort of the television industry is going to be all CTV and sort of the growth there. There are only two or three companies in our space that are going to dominate that, right? So there's Roku, who's done really well. You know, Amazon has sort of copied their model of, you know, providing devices and services for cheap and getting, you know, a lot of data and advertising dollars in return. And then there is, you know, companies like Samsung or LG. These three or four companies, I think, will dictate how the next set of advertising dollar flow will happen in the television industry. And we hope to be in the forefront of that. We hope to build a really large company in partnership with LG in that space. And, you know, that's really our goal and mission.
I love it. I love it. So where can people learn more about Alphonso?
Yeah. So, you know, if you go to lgads.com or alphonso.tv, you will see more information about us. And, you know, we are with sort of this integration, we are kind of launching some new products. Specifically, two new things are happening. One is the first party inventory on LG TVs. These are, you know, ads that are on LG channels or partner apps or even on the home screen of LG TVs. Those are going to be sold exclusively through LG ads. And that is, I think, you know, an amazing sort of new product that we're bringing to the market. The data that I've talked about, right, the viewership data or ACR data is also going to be exclusively available only through LG ads. So again, if you want to understand what people are watching, whether it's on linear TV or OTT, and how to target those audiences better, how to plan your TV better, how to plan your OTT better, you know, we are going to be one of the prime platform within the space to provide those kind of services. So that's what, you know, I think if you want to find more information, then you can go to lgads.com and, you know, find out more about us.
That's great. Well, Raghu, it was so great to catch up with you, my friend. I'm happy for you and the entire Alphonso family. And I know there's a lot of work to be done, but I couldn't be more proud of all that you guys have accomplished and more excited about your future. So continued success, sir.
Thank you, Fred. And, you know, I know we work with you very closely in the early part of our journey. And you guys were wonderful in terms of helping us with our, you know, early sort of outreach into brands and agencies. And I see that you're sort of continuing that vision on your side and, you know, finding, you know, innovative companies to introduce to big brands. So continued success to you as well. All the best.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to stay in front of what's next, please hit subscribe to follow this podcast or go to LinkedIn and follow at Venture Fuel. There we'll be dropping up and coming interviews that are happening as well as events that we'll be hosting and insights on how you can get access to all this innovation. Until next time.